discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Prayer seems like it should be so very simple. But when it comes to actually praying, whether you're new to faith or a veteran of walking with Jesus, things can be quite different. How do we start? What do we say? Do we need to speak a special prayer language? And why is it so important that we do pray? For answers, on the road today, we welcome back a gentleman who began a tiny church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, just a decade ago, setting out with 32 members. Now, Embrace Church is a thriving faith community of thousands in multiple states, recognized as one of the fastest growing churches in America. On that journey, Pastor Adam Weber, Embrace's founder and lead pastor, found his prayer life to be the thing that sustained him, blessed him, and gave him the hope to continue in his darkest hours. He's put pen to paper on the subject of prayer and crafted the brand new book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. The fondest of returning welcomes to you, brother. It's great to have you here.
Oh, it's always an absolute joy and honor to be with you.
There are so many word pictures that you construct in this book, and it was a real pleasure just to experience the approachability of your language. And you really go through your story as a person of faith and trace how prayer has been there every step of the way. The first image that made me laugh and was quite poignant was you as a little boy in church. You're sitting on the pew and you make the statement as you're praying in church, "If there is a God, we have to be boring him out of his mind." Take me back to the Sunday service with the Webbers and explain why that thought came into your head.
Oh, so I grew up in the church. Since even the womb, I attended church. So before I can remember, grew up going on Sundays. It's what our family did. And in hindsight, I'm so grateful for just that foundation even my parents set inside of me of Sundays was a day for worship. But I struggled right out of the gate just with every aspect of it. I felt like I heard about an amazing God on Sundays, but didn't necessarily see him. And it almost seemed like people were embarrassed to speak about the Lord outside of that 1 hour on Sunday. And for me, I knew when something was awesome in my life, whether it was an old car — I love old cars — or next week's football game, those things were awesome and they impacted me. And so starting right out of the gate, my poor parents were so faithful and just bringing me each week. But I definitely struggled with believing in God and just struggled with all kinds of questions and doubts.
In the prayer specifically, you really draw this picture of, if this is something that where you're communicating with the divine, the most awesome thing in the universe, why does it feel so dull in a way? I mean, you were sort of exasperated by that, even at a very young age.
Very young age. Another thing that I always, especially at a young age, whether it was a cute girl, I knew when I was around a cute girl, I couldn't talk straight. You know, my words were getting all tangled up and I was so nervous. Why? Because this girl was awesome. And I used to just think that if there's an awesome God, you think that he would change everything, like infinitely greater than a nice old car next week's football game. And so I really, really struggled with just kind of a simple faith at start. And I'm such a simple person even yet today. And so those were the things that really just didn't seem to add up in my life. And were honest questions, and it's been neat for me now as a pastor to be able to identify with people who have maybe felt that same exact way,
yeah,
and have had similar questions themselves, and now to be able to kind of bring some light into those situations is pretty awesome.
You continue to trace this youthful story of your faith, and you really have a way of drawing us right into the situation, because it almost hurts to read this story about your confirmation at church. And you were just so frustrated with faith at that point. You say that you end up telling your parents that you hope that someday when you're away from home, that you look forward to this opportunity to never have God and never have church as a part of your life again. Was that kind of tough to even retell and write about?
Oh, it definitely was. And I remember my mom just being heartbroken, because I just got confirmed earlier that day, and where you stand before a church and confirm your faith in Jesus. And I told my parents it was the most I'd ever lied into so many people at one time. And so my mom was just devastated. Totally devastated. I mean, for her, it was as a mom and as both of my parents, they felt like that was the greatest responsibility in their life was for their kids to connect with God. And here their son was like openly saying whatever. And, but it ended up being a huge turning point. Cause they began to, in the coolest way possible, began to really put my walk with Christ before anything else. My mom years later would tell me your father and I never questioned our own faith. So we had a solid walk with Jesus, but yours was in trouble. And so we decided we needed to set aside our own preferences and go looking for a church that we felt like would connect with you. Wow. It was so cool. I've thanked them so many times since because it was a really bold move and hard, especially to maybe go away from their own upbringing and denominations to really begin looking for a church that would connect with me. It was amazing. I can't believe it.
That is the voice of the founder and lead pastor of Embrace Church with campuses in South Dakota and Minnesota, one of America's fastest growing churches, and he's author of the brand new book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Pastor Adam Weber is with us on the road today, this good man. And we have two copies of the book to give away. If you head to myfaithradio.com, just look for On the Road. You can send us a note and say, hey, I want to be in that drawing. I want to learn about talking with God. Probably one of the most frequent questions we ask about prayer is the appropriate frequency with which we should pray. Is there an amount of time we should pray, Pastor Adam?
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. And in one of the chapters I talk about, in 1 Thessalonians, we're told by Paul to pray without ceasing. And it can also translate to always, constant, never stop. And I'm like, wow, that's, when I first heard that as a new Christian, I'm like, oh, that pretty much seems impossible, you know? And, so really, I think what Paul's getting at is just the constant communion and conversation with the Lord. There's no certain length that makes a good prayer. We can keep it short, simple, and honest and talk like a guy, just like a kid speaks with the Lord. So there's not a required length or amount, I would even say. So there's that simplicity of childlike faith and childlike prayers of they don't need to be extravagant. God's not looking to be impressed with our words. Jesus himself actually called that out. When people tried to pray extravagantly to be heard, he was actually like, don't do that. Like, you're just talking with God the Father. Like, you don't need to, you're not doing it to be impressed, to impress other people. But on the flip side of that challenge to pray without ceasing and really that challenge to abide, Jesus says, abide in me. And I think there's something to that. And we so often, when it comes to prayer without ceasing, we so often separate prayer from the place we need it the most in the midst of our lives. And so I think what Paul's saying is in everything that you're doing every day, throughout your day, throughout your week, just be in constant conversation with God. He's the source of all things that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Strength, peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, self-control. I'm like, whoa, okay. I need those things in my life.
Yes.
And so when we talk with God and we connect ourselves to him, those things begin to fill our lives as a result. And so I don't think there's a certain required amount or there's definitely not a certain length. Jesus actually says, you know, don't pray extravagantly and long-winded. Instead, just basically keep it short and simple. And so, yeah, there's kind of a balance in there somehow. It's kind of, yeah, there's a combination of the two, maybe.
Understood. You reference it in the book a number of times, too. People will talk to you about the most. In fact, the foreword to the book is a gentleman coming to you and basically saying, I've been a Christian for a very long time. I don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you talk about is this intimidation factor where people will listen to others, whether it's a small group or a prayer group or even just, you know, prayer for a meal. And somebody prays this beautiful prayer.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's oratorical in nature almost. And you're like, I don't pray like that. Should I be praying like that? I mean, there's really no place in this conversation for being intimidated by the beauty of someone else's prayer. Is that fair to say?
That's definitely fair to say. Yeah, I think each of us is different. And so how we talk to the Lord might be different. But there's no need to be intimidated when we approach God the Father. he wants to meet with us, the real us, not some weird version of us, you know? There's sometimes, especially or like just growing up and as a newer Christian, I felt like I needed to say bigger words when I talked with God. Yeah. And looking back, I'm wondering if he was just like, who is this guy that sounds like he's reading out of a dictionary? Like, I've never met this man before. And so, instead of being intimidated, just wherever we are, we can begin to talk with God and talk with him just like you do with a friend. I mean, when I talk with friends, I never have to feel like I have to sound different or better or more educated or more, you know, whatever. We can just speak to them wherever we're at. And so there's definitely an intimidation factor. I'm almost amazed, especially since the kind of the title and the heartbeat of the book came out, the wave of people who have reached out to me. I'll never forget, there was one business owner who reached out to me and said, I have to be honest, I've grown up in the church my entire life. He's probably my dad's age, by the way. And he said, I've never known how to pray.
Wow.
Ever. And I was like, whoa. And I think there's just that intimidation factor of, I don't want to screw this up. Like, this is, this isn't a job interview. This is what, like, God, like the creator of all things. Like, I really don't want to mess this up, you know? And, we don't need to have that unhealthy fear of making a mistake in our words. We can just talk freely with God.
The book is called Aptly Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Pastor Adam Weber is the good man who joins us today, the founder and lead pastor of Embrace Church with campuses in South Dakota and Minnesota, one of America's fastest growing churches. And I think when you listen to the man talk, you can tell why God is using him so powerfully. Just a fantastic human being and a very approachable man and a humble man. That's why he's making all the sounds when I'm saying that. So
you're being way too kind, way too kind. A recovering sinner in need of Jesus.
There it is. And that's why we love you. And it's true, but the humility is pretty fantastic. Aww. Right there. Now, you talk about the nature of prayer, of course, in so much of the book. One of the fascinating, really, analyses that you made in here, you're talking about Paul's words to Thessalonica, and you say the word encourage can also be translated as pray.
Yeah.
I found that to be very profound.
Unbelievable.
It's not just a matter of words, but this is something that's quite deep.
Yeah. It can translate, the word encourage can translate as strengthen and comfort, and in certain circumstances, pray. And I just thought, what a cool set of words to put together. And I know when I've prayed for someone myself, whether they're in the room and I'm praying with them, or even if I've just let someone know, hey, I just want to let you know I prayed for them, you can almost see them strengthened right before your eyes. You can see them being comforted right there. And I know when people have prayed for me, those words have been so true in my life: encouraged, comforted, and strengthened. And what a gift. As the older I get, the more I'm beginning to see that one of the single greatest gifts someone can give me is actually praying for me and talking with God on my behalf. That's pretty profound. Like, no way, you do that? That's pretty crazy. You know, like, it's one thing when it's like, I'll talk with my boss and see if I can put in a good word for you, or I'll talk with this friend and we were just talking about you, how kind of a person you are. You know how awesome that's always so humbling.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I was talking with the creator of all things about you. And just how much I appreciate you and love you, and just that I just ask that God would comfort you during this time. And that's just such a cool thing to think about.
Mm, it really is. Yeah, the power. And it's so easy to forget about the power of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it almost becomes a cliche. As a matter of fact, I think I'm guilty of that. Sometimes it's almost jokingly become, I'll say to a friend, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to do such and such? I'll pray about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's such power in that phrase. Thank you for
reminding
us. Such power.
And especially even in myself, so this isn't like I'm judging others, myself included, it seems to be like we're in our world right now, it seems like we're so quick to be negative and critical and hurtful with our words. And I think more than ever before, prayer is needed. And just lifting each other up. Like when we're hurt by someone, instead of taking a moment to gossip about them, taking a moment to pray for them. Like, Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I know when I've said stuff like that, I've been hurting. And so would you just work in their lives, or, you know what I mean? Instead of like being quick to criticize, like, God, like, I don't understand what this person's doing. Like, and I think they probably come from a different viewpoint than I do. And I don't really understand what they're doing. But God, would you just work in their lives? And, you know, Father, I don't know if they have a relationship with you or not, but I just pray that even today you'd just draw them closer and closer to you. I just think the profound change that could make, we're a light on a hill. And I just think there's nothing that shines brighter than when we do that for people. And people are just like shocked almost, like, wow, you pray for me? I recently prayed for someone and I let them know that I prayed for them. And they responded back, I've never, ever in my entire life had somebody pray for me or let me know at least that I've prayed for them. And I was like, whoa. And they were just like blown away. And I was like, yeah, you just crossed my mind and I just wanted to pray for you.
You talk about the very famous story in the New Testament about the storm where the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee and the storm arises from nowhere. And you contrast the actions and the attitudes of the disciples who are, you know, they go postal.
Dude, they do.
With Jesus who stays asleep. And you say Jesus was in the same storm in the same boat as the disciples. The only difference was his complete trust in God. Because he had such peace, he was able to sleep in a boat in the midst of a terrible, furious storm. And you go on to say, Jesus knew without a shadow of a doubt that when he talked to his Father, God would hear his voice. Obviously, there's this extraordinary connection between the Godhead.
Yes.
But what you go on to say is that basically, when we connect with God and when we talk with God, we have that same confidence that he will listen to us.
Absolutely. And I think that's another thing I hear people say is, I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back down. Or I feel like I'm in this trial in this valley and I just feel like God isn't there. And honestly, when I first read that story from time to time, at first it's discouraging because I know I've been in storms where I felt like Jesus was sleeping. You know, I'm like, man, is God, are you awake? Because this is kind of crazy. Like, are you like, really? Like, this is really happening? Yeah. And what have I done to deserve this? And yet it's but the longer again that I've followed Jesus, that I know without question that he is good, that he is faithful, and that he is loving. And so even in those times where I'm like, I don't understand, we can cling to him. And even greater, just David, over and over, when I cry out, God hears my voice. What a wonderful thing to know. Even Psalm 40, when David's in a pit, he cries out and Jesus lifts him out, or God lifts him out of the pit, sets him on a new path, and puts a new song within him. And I'm like, whoa, even when we dig a pit with our own two hands, Jesus comes and he just rescues us, you know? And so I would encourage anybody who's listening to know that wherever you're at, whether you're in a storm, in a valley, in a trial, that God is with you. God sent us Jesus and called him Emmanuel, God with us. Not far from us, not thinking about us, like with us. And I'm like, whoa, that's so wonderful to know that God is with us. No matter where we are, we can cry out and he will hear our voice.
One of the foundational questions that people want to know before they even approach the concept of prayer, of course, is how can we know that God is there? How can we know that God is listening? And you talk about it in terms of not having an equation that you can point to Einstein style and say, this proves God's existence. You say you wish you did, but the skeptic in you wishes that you had those hard facts.
Yeah.
But for me, you say this feeling inside of us, this longing for God, this thirst for him, is one of the main things that leads to my belief in him. Can you expand on that for us?
Yeah, I haven't met a single human being yet in my 35 years of living that doesn't have this longing for something greater. In Ecclesiastes, we're told that God set eternity within our hearts. And I haven't met a person yet who doesn't have that within them. Just this crying out, this craving for something more. And oftentimes I look at Facebook and kind of our prideful posture as humans is we know everything. And if people would just listen to our Facebook statuses, all the world's problems would be solved. You know, and I'm like, I really? I'm like, I know less and less and less. Like, I don't know anything. And I'm so needy and desperate for God in my life. My own story is I'm definitely a skeptic. Just even now today, when I work on a message each week, I'm always like, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? So I'm constantly wrestling with everything. I'm like, yep, nope, that's exactly what I believe. And just wrestling with stuff in scripture. But the one thing I can't deny is the story of the blind man who God puts mud on Jesus puts mud on his eyes. And he's healed. And the Pharisees are asking him all about Jesus. Like, who is this? He says, I don't know who it is. And well, why is he doing this on the Sabbath? I don't really know. So they get the blind man's parents and are like, hey, is this your son? And they're like, yep. Was he blind? Yep. Why can he see now? We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. You ask him. And finally the man, cause they keep on asking him about Jesus and they're basically asking him for the equation of to prove whatever. This is kind of my read on it. And finally he says, I don't know all the questions you're asking. All I do know is I was blind and now I see. Mm-hmm. And even talking to the internal skeptic in me, I want to give answers to those questions. Like, how do I know this for sure? Man, I just wish I could tell you. I don't know, but here's what I do know. I was blind and I see. And for me, that's kind of probably what my life verse is coming back to that verse, because it's so power and so clearly evident in my life. When I came to Christ, I wasn't seeking out God. I wasn't looking for a spiritual experience. I actually wanted nothing to do with it. And yet God and Jesus reached into my life and changed me. He showed up in a way that I couldn't deny. And I've since that day, July 13th, 1989, I've never been the same.
Oh, it's fantastic stuff. Pastor Adam Weber is the founder and lead pastor of Embrace Church with campuses in South Dakota and Minnesota, one of America's fastest growing churches. And he's the author of the brand new book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. I think one of the most powerful things that I read in this entire book is you talking about going to this conference of great leaders of faith. And you yourself, as we've been describing, are somebody who's been celebrated across the country for what you're doing with Embrace, and you're the most humble guy in the world, which is awesome. But you talk about being at that conference and seeing these other titans of faith and feelings of insecurity and a feeling that somehow you had to prove why you should be there. And I just thought, wow, that is so very relatable to so many of us who struggle with insecurity in so many layers of our life. But what you do that is different from just sharing it, you talk about how you were able to start to conquer that and how you continue to daily live to conquer that, which is through prayer. Talk about how that was transformational for you.
Yeah, it's so huge. So I was at this conference, and this isn't just one scenario. I mean, this is a regular struggle and battle for me. And I think for many of us, it's just that constant, where does my worth and value come from? And when we're not clinging to Jesus, our worth and value is constantly changing based on our weight, based on our likes on Facebook, based on our success at, you know, whether we're a realtor or a banker, like everything else is constantly changing. The opinions of other people, whether people like us or dislike us. I mean, if we don't cling to Jesus, our worth is all over the place. And so I'm at this conference and I was so excited about going. The people were wonderful. So it's nothing to do with the people. It was all me. But I just got there and immediately started comparing myself and just getting restless and, oh, they don't even probably know where South Dakota is. And, you know, like just struggling with every part of it. And I was miserable. And so I got back to my hotel room that night. And spiritually and emotionally, I felt like I had ran a marathon. You know, it's just one of those days where you're like, you're just tired from running.
Yeah.
And I came in and physically got on my knees in my hotel room. And I basically said, Jesus, I'm tired from running. And just, this whole day I've been searching for my worth when it has not changed for a minute in you. And I just basically claimed Jesus as my anchor in that moment. Like, Lord, I just need you. The one thing that's unchanging, I need to hold on to you where my worth as your son is forever the same.
Amen. Well, there's a great word to end our conversation on with Pastor Adam Weber of Embrace Church, multiple campuses across South Dakota and Minnesota. The book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. And I would be remiss to not mention again that if you go to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road and send us a note and say, I want to be in the drawing for two of those free books of Talking with God. Well, you have a chance to win a copy of the book here this week on the road. Brother, I mean, what can be said? It's been a treat to talk with you. You're just a terribly encouraging human being. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, so grateful to be on. Thanks for all the lives that you're impacting each and every day.
Well, and of course, if somebody has been listening today and they're just fascinated by your message and encouraged by it, I know that the book is available many places where fine books are sold, but I'm sure there's a website that's a convenient location to learn more.
Yeah, if you want, you can go pretty much anywhere, Amazon, Target, Walmart. You can find out more about the book at adamweber.com. Yep.
Love you, brother. Thanks for being here.
Oh, love you too. Thanks for everything.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.